Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Path to Podcast Success. I had the honor of having Daniel G. Garza on the show today, and we had a lot of fun. A little bit about Daniel. Daniel began his career in hosting in 2005 on Zona Latina on Houston Media Source, a cable access channel in Houston, Texas, where he was co-host for about 2 years. After moving to California, finding a spot to showcase his talent for interviewing was not easy, so he decided to try podcasting. He launched Put It Together, which is his podcast, on February 11th of 2012. During the last 7 years, he has also hosted Corazon en la Mano, a Spanish show. I don't speak Spanish myself, I'm sure you could tell, but that's a Spanish show similar to Put It Together. Vida Positivum, Positive Life, a show dedicated to HIV education, and a spinoff to Put It Together Conversations. On this show, guests can come on back-to-back to co-host and pick a topic of conversation. His goal is to host his own talk show where he can talk to the audience about health issues and how to overcome labels placed on people. He recorded a pilot called Lunch with the Guys with a panel of men from different backgrounds discussing issues that men deal with on a regular basis. I had a lot of fun interviewing him, and I also had a lot of fun on his podcast. He had me on his show as well. He has an incredible, incredible story, and the way he's used podcasting to help bring it out and to help reach more people is really fascinating. So without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Okay, Daniel, thank you so much for being willing to come on the show today. I am excited.
Hi, good morning. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. How about you?
I'm good. It's a pretty day here in Laguna Beach. Got my coffee, ready for some conversation. I'm good. Now I'm getting nervous.
Oh, well, hey, no, pressure's off. You know, it's just a recording. Nothing's gone out yet. So that always helps me, you know.
But no, I'm good. I'm honored. And thank you so much for inviting me. You know, the magic, I know you haven't asked any questions, but the magic of podcasts and social media is I put my shows out there. I'm sure you'll ask these questions later, but my show was out there. Somebody found me, and then you and I connected to that, and here we are. It's just, it's so beautiful the way, I know a lot of people have issues with the internet and media, and but if you do it right, if you use it right, you connect with people that you would never in your life get to meet. And that's pretty awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. No, very true. And yeah, I connected with you originally via Nate Bailey.
Correct. Hello, Nate. Yeah.
You were on his podcast, Championship Leadership, weren't you? Yeah.
So yes. That's... We swapped interviews. He found me, sent me an email saying that he'd heard my show and he thought he was a good fit for it and that maybe we could swap interviews. And I'll be honest, at first I thought there was a spam email. I was like, whatever, dude, like, who are you? So I went and Googled him and investigated, like, did some research. I'm like, who is this Ned Bailey and why does he want to talk to me? Like, what is he going to try to sell me? Because, right. You know, you see coaching on the lines and you're like, I don't need a life coach right now, dude. But I contacted him and he was like, hey, I heard your podcast and I think, you know, we could swap. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So it feels really good when your baby grows up and people are taking notice. It's really
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So even though we already started talking about something, the first question I like to ask is,
What was your biggest fear of podcasting when you first started? And did that fear actually end up coming true?
What was my first fear? My fear was that I wouldn't have anything to talk about, or that I wouldn't have anybody interested in participating, that I couldn't put a show together. That was one of my fears. Because the shows, the pilot episode for my show, which was not supposed to air, was all about, and can I say it for the people that don't know, my show's called Put It Together.
Yeah, talk all about it.
It's called Put It Together. And the idea of the show was I wanted to share with folks how I was putting my life together. This is January of 2012. And I wanted to show people how I was putting my life together. I was about 12 years HIV positive. I was about 5 years clean and sober. I had moved to California 2 years prior. And I was just trying to get my life in shape. And I was like, how can my mess up help somebody clean up their mess? Mm-hmm. And so the pilot episode was all about me talking about my drug years, my alcohol years, the messes that I caused, my sexual encounters, relationships, family, just messy. It was just messy. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. They were like, this is what people want to hear. We're normal. Everybody's like, podcasters, you don't go on a podcast because you have it all put together.
Yeah.
You're putting it together.
Yeah.
And the first year was basically all my friends and anybody I could pull in and say, please come on my show. And some people repeated the first year. I did a lot of panel shows just trying to get people. But that was my biggest fear. It was like, I'm gonna be boring people. People are gonna listen to the first 5 minutes and be like, what is this Mexican talking about? Let's change the channel. And to this date, it's still one of the biggest fears.
Yeah.
That people will not want to be part of my show anymore.
Mm-hmm. So, but it sounds like podcast has been going for a while. And even from the pilot, it sounds like there have been positive reactions. And it sounds like since even the beginning, that fear has been just kind of each time you release an episode, it sounds like it keeps being proved wrong. You know, has that been your experience?
Yeah. I'll give you just a little bit of backstory on the podcast. So I was a guest on a friend show. A friend of mine, Matt Grenier, was part of the company Abnormal Entertainment. So he invited me to do a Christmas show to talk about spirituality and the feelings of Christmas and how to channel that positive energy. And a lot of people go through depression during the holidays. And so we were talking about how to keep a positive attitude during the holidays. Okay. So then for New Year's, I came back. This is 2011. For New Year's, I came back and I do, I'm a Reiki. I wasn't a Reiki master then. I was just doing readings. But I'd done a Reiki one level and I was doing card readings and horoscopes. And so he invited me to do the end of the year horoscope show. So I was like, all right, cool. So jokingly, I told him, I said, you know, I've been on your show several times. I've been there before. I'm like, I should have my own show. Well, he went back and told his producers, hey, I have this friend who's interested in doing a show. This is his personality. Mr. Kevin Moyers, who's my producer still, was like, yeah, we need something like that on the show. We need something positive about that. Mr. Cam Harson, who's passed, didn't want me on the show because Abnormal Entertainment was all about all these crazy people. And he was like, he's too nice. He's too clean. Like, we can't use him on the network. So I got offered to do the pilot, which I did, which turned out to be really gritty. So Mr. Harston came back and called me and said, we want you on the network. So that's where that all began.
So is your podcast like part of a larger, like it sounds like a production company or someone in those lines helped with it? Because usually people I talk to, and myself included, like I have a message, I have my own online business, so I went and started a podcast. Like, I didn't like get like a I'm a podcaster's producer. That's what I do. But I didn't have like a professional, I guess, the kind of producer you're talking about, I believe.
Right. So Abnormal Entertainment had been in business for a while. They were doing podcast and short videos and publishing some stuff. And so I was very fortunate that they just brought me into their network and mm-hmm. were like, hey, here's a home for you already. Come on in. Like, you're crazy enough to be part of us. And not to diss my podcasting brothers, but the reality is most of the shows on the network, they would start drinking at the beginning of the show and be a little drunk by the end. So you could hear on those shows, like, especially because I knew them, like, oh my God, they're already drunk. Like, it's 20 minutes in, they're drunk. And I'm clean and sober. So that's where I was having a hard time fitting in. But yeah, I guess part of your show is to give a little pointers. If you have the opportunity to join a network that's already has the following that are clicking on the page looking for new content, I would say go for it. I don't think that I would have lasted the 12 years or had the following that I have now had I not been part of Abnormal Entertainment.
Okay. Are you still a part of that company or are you on your own now?
No, I'm still with Abnormal Entertainment. Okay. Yeah. There is definitely a sense of loyalty to them. Mr. Kevin Moyers, when I went through cancer in 2015, right before cancer, I had 3 podcasts at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For about a year, I had put it together. Corazón en la Mano, which was the Spanish version of the show, and Vita Positam, which in Latin means positive life, which was an all HIV education podcast.
Okay.
So I was putting up shows Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays with 3 guests, with a guest on each show. So I was finding guests, doing the interviews. No edit ever goes into my show. I never edit a show. The only times, the only times I've ever edited a show is when I do shows about sobriety and somebody else's name is mentioned. We'll delete that because we don't want anybody else's name in that story.
Yeah.
But other than that, we don't. But when I was going through cancer, I was doing video blogging. So Mr. Moyers would take my video blogs and put them on the podcast line so people could watch or hear them. So he kept me relevant for about 6 months while I was out of commission.
Right. Okay. And so that's interesting. So that's kind of that leads into asking what parts of the podcast process you handle and what parts you outsource or the other people handle. So it sounds to me like you just do the recording and then it kind of gets taken from there, or what do you do?
Yeah. So OVS, I find my guest. I'm a professional stalker. Some people call it research. I'm a stalker. If I'll take, for instance, like Nate. Like once we became friends on Facebook, first I'll see if we have any mutual friends, and then it's like, okay, cool. And then I'll start going through his feed and find out what else he's involved in. And if I see something really interesting, I'm like, oh, wow, like that's somebody cool. So I'll go to that person's page and be like, who are you? And then if they're doing something really interesting with their life, I'll send them a message and say, hey, I found you on Nate's page. I think you're pretty cool. Can I send you a friend request? Yes. Or can I send you some information on my podcast? Yes. I'll send them my info. And then I'll start like a little friendship. I don't just jump into people because I'm sure you've figured this out. And for those of you listening, always do a little bit of homework. There's been times when I've interviewed somebody and got them online and it's yes and no answers or very small conversation. You're like, what are you doing? Like, we were just talking 5 minutes ago and you were awesome. Like, where did that person go?
Yeah.
So I always try to do a little homework, and I do the interviews. Much like you, I just schedule time whenever it's available. I've done interviews with people overseas at 3 o'clock in the morning, just because that's the only time they have available. Mm-hmm. And then once it's recorded and it's done, I email it over or upload it to my producer, Kevin Myers, and he takes care of the rest. We did a theme song. I have a theme song on my shelf. Yes. Ooh. Yes, okay. Folks. About 2 years ago, I thought, for a long, long time, I would ask my guests, what's your favorite song? What song represents you, Ella? So we would do that as the intro. That would be like a 10-second, 15-second intro with the music. But okay. Then some of the platforms started getting very picky about music rights and such.
So that was going to be my next question.
Yeah. So we stopped doing that. I was like, okay, I can't do that. And I had some friends who are musicians record small bits for me, just like 30-second musical intros for me. But I didn't quite like it. Not that I didn't like the music. I still use the music for other stuff, but I didn't like that. So searching through other podcasts, I realized some people had songs, like their own songs. And as an actor, I was like, well, this is the perfect time for me to have an intro for myself.
Yep.
So there's a couple of musician friends of mine, the Kalama brothers, Kai and Ryan. And Ryan came over and he set the music for me and helped me write the lyrics. I wrote the lyrics and he just helped me fine tune them and played the guitar. And it's acoustic. We recorded it right here in my living room. So for any of you that you go and listen to Put It Together podcast, the intro song, it's me and Ryan Kalama singing the intro song.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but that was just a way to, you know, like when you go to the grocery store, this is what I mean. You go to the grocery store and you're at your checkout aisle and you look at the chocolates, you immediately know what chocolate is because of the packaging. So my intro song was my package. The moment you hear that beginning tones, you know that's Put It Together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted people to immediately associate that with me. And some people recognize it, so it worked. It worked.
That's awesome. Yeah. So another question that I had is what criteria does someone have to meet to be a guest on your show? You kind of answered that already, but I wanted to ask if there are any other specifics.
What do you need to have to be on my show? Okay, folks, get out your pen and paper, and we're about to do a checklist here. to be on my show, first, be alive. And I don't mean just breathe and move. Is what are you doing with your life? Mm-hmm. As the name says, Put It Together. What are you putting your life together? Are you helping other people do it for themselves? You know, I'm a big fan of the teach to fish versus feed them.
Oh yeah.
Idea. What are you doing? What are you putting into the stream of life that's helping other people and helping yourself? Because everybody should know this. In helping others, you're helping yourself. Period. Second, what have you overcome in your life? What is that one obstacle, be it health issues, sobriety, drug addiction, some kind of abuse? Were you in the military? Are you a teacher? Did you invent something? Have you raised 5 kids and fostered 20? Like, all those stories are just fascinating to me. And then if you want, I'll tell you what my background was into getting my story out there. I believe that anybody over the age of 13 nowadays has a Put It Together story. You're working on something. Because I talk to people sometimes and I tell them, I'm like, dude, you're awesome. You should be on my show. And they're like, oh, wait till I do something amazing. I'm like, your story is amazing. Like, you just held my attention. And I want to hear it. And we forget, again, pen and paper, write this down. If you are in 2019 and living your daily life and surviving it and haven't found an escape route yet, you are amazing and you deserve to share your story and people deserve to hear it. Because somebody out there, I know there's not another Daniel G. Garza out there, but there's somebody similar.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's hurting or he's lost, and something that I say will impact him. And then he shares his story and some other guy is going to be impacted. And then at some point, I'm going to listen to somebody's story and go, holy shit. Oh, sorry. I'm freaking cussing your show. Because of my show. But like that just impacted me. And so it becomes this chain of help. And all of a sudden, we're all rising together. And that's pretty awesome. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I have this burning desire to share my story, but don't know where to go. Let's put it together. See what I did there?
I see. Clever. Nice. Yeah, that is incredible. That is that's one of the best reasons that I've heard for someone like having a podcast and the reasons for wanting to have people on and what people to have on. I think that that's incredible. And I think that that's a very impactful way to go about it. So nice.
Thank you.
So I also wanted to ask what, so we've talked a lot about what your motivation was to start your podcast. You know, you mentioned exactly how you came about starting it. And it's pretty obvious that you're doing it to help share stories and share messages and just lift everyone up. Is it part of any other type of business venture, or is it really just for that value sharing?
Well, business-wise, people always think about business and podcasting and they link it to sponsorships. Who sponsored you? How much are you making? There was a time when Abnormal Entertainment had sponsors. I, after a while, declined on the sponsorship because I didn't want anybody to have a say in what I could or could not do, say or couldn't say, or what kind of guest I could have on my show.
Yep.
I'm not going to be like Victor. It wasn't uber limiting. I just didn't want that. Put It Together was my show. And it took a long time for me to realize, to really say it. Put It Together is my show. I decide who comes in and plays with me and who doesn't. And I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. I figured as an actor, at some point I'll work on a project. And I do work on some projects that do have moral clauses. And I have to be really careful about what I say, what I put out there. Not to Put It Together. Put It Together had to be open. So do I make money to sponsors? No, I don't. How do I make money from Put It Together? People listen to my show. I get invited to sit on panels. I get invited to events. I get invited to conferences or to be guests on certain things where they do pay me for my time. I'll make this quick connection. So I have Put It Together, the podcast. I'm also an HIV advocate, which I use Put It Together to do that. There are several shows that are HIV specific because I canceled the last show that I had. So, okay. There is a conference that's called Healthy Voices. Healthy Voices is a conference dedicated specifically to social media advocates for any cause health related. So I submit for this conference. I get invited to go, and it's about 120 people from across the country from different health backgrounds talking about advocacy and how we use social media. So I'm there. I make an impact. I get invited to be part of a campaign through Janssen Pharmaceuticals, who has a campaign called Positively Fearless. You can Google that. I'm on there. Positively Fearless, we are five HIV positive social media advocates from across the country. One in Florida, to New York, one Philly, and I'm the only West Coast guy. So I got invited to them, which is now a job. It's really a job, and we mm-hmm. represent them, and I get to travel and talk to people and share my story of how HIV and AIDS has not limited me, but yet has helped me share my story and make an impact. So if you make the connections from my podcast, I am now one of the faces of Positively Fearless on this national campaign, both in English and Spanish, because I'm the only one that has videos in English and Spanish. Not to mention other little things that happen here in LA, where people are, hey, we want you to be part of our event, and mm-hmm. we're paying you. I'm like, oh, well, even better, perfect. So that's where my business. So to answer, I know I'm long-winded, so stop me at any time.
No, you are fine.
But for those of you that are always, for those of you that want to start a podcast and you're thinking, well, I need a sponsor. Well, I need money to start this. First of all, no, you don't. You really, podcasting, I started with my desktop. I had a Dell desktop in my bedroom with a webcam. And that's what I used. People would come into my bedroom and waka, waka, waka. Please step into my office. But folks, I would bring folks over and they would come into my bedroom and we'd sit in front of the desktop and interview them. The first episodes that you, if you go back and listen, are not bad. They're just not now. They're not me 7 years later. The sound is pretty bad. My interview style is horrible. I was wanting to be a mix between Barbara Walters and Oprah and George Stephanopoulos, and it just wasn't working. But I didn't need any money. I already had a housing network that was going to help me launch it. I already had my camera and I had my desktop. That was all I needed. The most I spent sometimes was when guests would travel a long way, I would take them out for lunch or something, and you know, 10, 15 bucks, which was. But that's an investment. You have to make that investment, and people don't think about that. You have to, if you really want to do this for the long term and make something out of it, you're going to invest for a while, unless you're already a big name somewhere and you already have sponsorships somehow. You're an actor, you're a social media influencer, you're a musician, whatever. You already have this people backing you up and saying, hey, we're going to pay for your time to interview people. The thing is that sometimes that comes with some restrictions and some contracts and stuff. So just be aware of that. But if you're sitting there going, I want to start a podcast, but I don't know what to do. You already have your earbuds. You have a phone. Hit record and start talking. That's it.
Yeah.
If you want to bring people into the conversation, go online. I go to Amazon, buy clip-on microphones, sit in front of somebody, hit record, and start a conversation. That's all you need. Maybe you have to buy them coffee or a soda or something or a beer. But you've invested, what, $5-$8 at the most.
Or you could do Zoom like we're doing, and Zoom is free.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, on the other side of the world.
Evan thinks it's free. I'm going to send him my bill for tacos later because it's Taco Tuesday today. So, But no, yeah. And reaching out to people, it's just as easy as Evan reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to do an interview? And let's face it, most of us have something to say and we're just looking for a place to say it.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to make fast money from a podcast early on, I don't think that's a real expectation. Like, don't expect that. But
yeah,
one of the best pieces of advice that I got early on, because I was doing shows that I thought people wanted to hear, and you can tell that. You can tell in my stories, in my interviews, that's not an interview that I wanted to do. That's not something I wanted to talk about. I had no clue what some of these people were talking about, And you can hear me just, my Kevin would laugh at me because I'd be like, oh, wow. I had no idea what they were saying. And after like 10 minutes, I was bored. And I was like, how am I going to carry this for an hour? Like, this is not going to work because my shows are an hour. So I know you haven't asked this, but part of that, the money-making part of it is, if you're looking to make money off of your podcast, do something that you're passionate about and you know about, because people will notice it. And the more people notice that you're excited to have a guest, they'll listen more. And the more they listen, the more somebody out there is paying attention going, hey, John Smith's getting a lot of traffic. Let's talk to him. And either you'll get that sponsorship or you'll get an opportunity like I did. Something will come along the way. It doesn't always come in cash, but I think that's the other thing. Revenue is not always cash. You can get a lot of other perks out of it. I know that I've gotten things over the years. Somebody sends me a t-shirt, somebody sends me a cap, somebody sends me tickets to an event. And you have to count that. You count that. That's somebody that's paying for you to have, for your work you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, thank you for that. I love hearing more stories about why people think podcasting is more than just sponsorships, because that is one of the first things I'm always asked when it comes to podcasting is, when it's not should you have sponsors, it's when do you get sponsors and how do you get sponsors or like affiliate marketing opportunities. And I'm like, you're missing the point. You're missing the point of podcasting. Sponsors don't really matter. I mean, sure, yeah, it'd be nice to have some extra pocket money. And if there's a program out there that you really believe in and you want to promote it and have an affiliate link, then okay, sure, fine. You can impact some people that way. But the opportunities that podcasting gives you for speaking, or like I have a business and the type of business opportunities I can get from a podcast and the types of relationships I can develop like with you and other people like you, that's so much more valuable than, you know, having some sponsorship, you know, money.
And I think you just hit on something really beautiful when it comes to podcasting. I don't know how else to say it. It's beautiful. Don't come into podcasting because you want to make a business. That's because you can do a business anywhere else. And your listeners will know that. Like, come into it because you're passionate about something, because you've got a story to tell, or you want people to hear about something. That's when there's millions of podcasts out there. True story is I just canceled my cable. I decided to finally get rid of my TV, and I'm streaming everything, and I'm with Cox here in Orange County in California. They have an app that's all podcasts. It's all podcasting, so you can tune into different podcasts. And I've been trying to listen to some of them, but some of them are businesses. It's like I'm tuning into an infomercial.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to listen to infomercials. Like, I don't want to buy 7.99 knives at 8 o'clock. At 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to hear a story. And that's another thing that I know we're going all over the place, but that's one of the things that I tell people when they come on my show, or when they approach me about being on my show. It's like, hey, I have a new book I wrote. I want to come and talk about my book. I'm like, that's great. But how did you put that book together? Cause that's the theme of my show. How'd you put it together? Cause that's what my listeners want to know. Like, yeah, we'll go buy your book. We'll listen to your music. We'll go see your film, et cetera. But how did you put it together? How did you come to that? Because that's where the real story is. Exactly. How did you put it together? And if all I'm, and I have told guests, I am not an infomercial. And if you want to do an infomercial, then you got to pay for my time. Because now we're doing a commercial. So I want to get paid. And I'm SAG, so I deserve SAG wages. Can you do that? And they're like, no. I'm like, then you need to find another guest to do your show, because I'm not going to do it. And I'm not that crude that people are like, oh, you're such an ass. No, it's fit nicely, but that's the gist of the conversation.
It's that thought, though.
Yeah.
It's that topic, yeah.
It's like, I can pretend to be really interested in your project if you want me to, but you got to pay for that interest. I'm not going to do it for free. Exactly. But when people come to me, like Nate Bailey, who is our mutual, when Nate Bailey came up to me and said, hey, I think we'd be good for each other's shows. Can we swap interviews? And I was like, I don't know. And I had doubts. I had doubts because I looked at his page and I'm like, I'm not this leadership champion dude that he, like, no way. There's no way that I fit into that category. But that's the beauty of a podcast host, is that he convinced me through our conversation that I deserved to be there. So if you're, for those of you listening, if you're like, I want to start a podcast, okay, cool. I don't have a lot of money. Who cares? Just start recording. Who do I interview? Start with people around you that inspire you, motivate you, or make you want to be better. And if it's somebody, like, it doesn't matter if you're into rocket science, cooking, or collecting My Little Pony. Find somebody else that does the same thing you do, and let people hear the passion in your interview. Let them hear that you really want to talk about this. And then people are going to be interested, and people will start sharing and tell other people. And then all of a sudden, you're at a My Little Pony convention on a panel getting paid for your time because you started this little interview with almost no money. And that's when, if you're like me, you sit back for a second and go, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
And then you realize that all the work that you put into it is starting to pay off. But it's like a plant. A plant does not get fruit the next day after you plant the seed. It's going to take some time. And as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm like, why does this dude want me on his show? Like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Well, it's not ridiculous. I don't think anyway, because, you know, we definitely, I mean, I think you shared a lot of good values. So definitely worth it for, you know, me and my audience. And yeah, I think that was, it's very true. I mean, you plant the seed. Podcasting is the seed that you plant, and you keep watering it consistently. And then you'll get fruit from it. Like one of my clients, Satema Ghali, is actually Nate Bailey's, one of Nate Bailey's business partners. Another coach, and he got invited to speak on stage with like Gary Vaynerchuk and some other really high level like business entrepreneurs in that space. Yeah. Because of his podcast. They listened to the podcast, they liked it, and invited him on. And I was with some very, very big names.
That's how it works. I have the opportunity, which I need to start doing my homework. I have some stuff. But there is an organization called International Pain Foundation out of Phoenix. And the owners of the foundation are really good friends of mine. There's a conference coming up on the 14th, 15th, and 16th here in UCLA. And they are, the speakers and the summits and the workshops are all very, very knowledgeable and very experienced doctors and PhDs and like all these people with very high educational levels, and they invited me to present, and I was like, what am I supposed to talk about? And they gave me a topic which wasn't really in my field, but I'm going to talk about the first and secondary effects of long-term HIV survivors, because for those of you listening, I'm 19 years HIV positive, and so I have a little experience in that. But all that came about, and not only am I doing my little presentation, I'm also the opening act for the comedian that's on that night. Plus, I won an award. So I won an award to them. So yeah, yay for me. I'm getting an award in patient advocacy. So that's really cool. For
me. Nice.
Yeah, it's 18 years of hard work, and it's really awesome. Plus, I'm a card reader, so they're going to let me do a little entertainment for people and do card readings for people. So we'll talk about that afterwards. But, so I'm doing all these things. But again, it seems like a long time, but it's happening when it's supposed to happen. I am right now, I feel like, in the prime of my podcasting career. I'm 7 years in. I was starting to doubt myself. I was getting the 7-year itch and going, what the hell am I doing? Like, give it up. Like, let other people take over the podcasting. Like, you're done with this. But then this little surge of people contacting me and me getting jobs because of the work that I've been doing. And then it clicked. I'm 48 years old and it just now clicked. I'm like, dude, you had to put in the work to reap the benefits.
Yeah.
You had to. And again, now I'm getting invited to do things in front of people. And I also host a pre-show show for a friend of mine who's a comedian. So he hosts the comedians. I'm still trying to get on his show. I'm not good yet for the show, but I do the pre-show show. He was on my podcast. He liked what I was doing. So I go and interview the comedians before the show starts to kind of relax them and let the audience get to know them. And it's on live feed. So if you guys want to follow me, every first Saturday of the month. And, but that's also part of the podcasting because I have the rights to that show. So that goes on my feed and I get to show that off and then goes on my YouTube page. So now more comedians get to see that. So now the shows, when I go there, comedians want to be on the pre-show show. And then I follow up with them and their guest on my podcast, which now expands my listening audience. So there is a whole lot of intricacies that go into podcasting that you learn as you go. There are a lot of things that Evan and I can tell you about podcasting, and we can show you the diagram and the blueprints and say this is how it'll work. But it's like building your house. We're going to help you build your house, but you get to put in and decorate it and design it the way you want to. And that's the beauty of podcasting, because my show has gone over about, I think I've done like 3 or 4 modifications over the last 7 years where I just didn't like the style that it was going in anymore. So I changed the format and it just freshens it up and people get excited. There's one gentleman, his name's David Gonzalez out of Phoenix, who has been following me since my very first episode and continues to support me. And he'll message me when something doesn't go right and be like, eh, that guest was boring. That wasn't a good interview. Or I could tell you weren't into it. Why weren't you into it? And I'd be like, oh, dude, yeah, you're right. So you build your audience and they keep you in check too. Mm-hmm. It's like your mother-in-law coming to visit you at your house and going, why is that chair in that corner? Move it. And you do. And it just feels different. So I don't know if this is making sense, but podcast is, at least for me, it's very personal.
Yeah.
It's my baby and I get to play with him and show him things. And then you could just share with other people. And I think some of my friends get tired of me going on my podcast and they're like, okay, shut up, stop. But yes, as you can tell, I'm overly passionate about. Did that all make sense? I hope that made sense to your listeners.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's what, I mean, it's, and I hear this a lot when in business and with podcasting. And that is, well, first of all, dollars follow value. So if you come from a place of wanting to share value and just have great conversations, then those kinds of business connections will come from that more so than, you can't really have a successful podcast if you go into it thinking, okay, I'm going to start this podcast because I want to make a bunch of money and sell my stuff. You can't really come into it with that. You can't really go into anything with that if you actually want it to succeed. You know, you have to come into it with, I just want to have meaningful conversations and share value and have a good time and share my passion with the world. And then those kinds of opportunities will follow. So, yeah.
And the disclaimer to that for me would be, now, if you are a product guy, if you make t-shirts, if you make shoes, I don't know, if you make bandanas, whatever it is you make, if you do that and you're going on a show and you're doing a podcast and you're selling your stuff, well, then that's a show about selling. To me, that's a sales show. That's an infomercial. You're selling your stuff. If I had gone into this 7 years ago thinking about the money that I was going to make and the potential started evaluating how much in a year, I would have quit 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Because 6 years ago, nobody knew who I was. And I was, like I said, I was recruiting all my friends, recycling them. My boyfriend has been in about 10 episodes. Not just his personal story of putting it together, but like panel shows. We did do some really great panel shows in the beginning. I did a show on, and this is what kind of put me on the map a little bit. I did a show about, it's called Politically Correct or Polite Segregation. And it was four people around the table. It's always four people talking about being polite to people and just using political correctness to separate us in a polite kind of way. People were like, well, I can't call you Mexican. I'm like, well, I am Mexican. I'm like, okay, fine, call me Latin if that makes you feel better, but you're still putting a label on me. So are you really being politically correct? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Even those shows had their impact, and I was so excited to do them. And that's what kept me motivated. But like I was saying, is it easy to maintain the energy level throughout? For me, no. There were times when I just didn't feel like it. I didn't want to talk to people, especially when I was going through cancer. I just didn't feel it. But I still had there's still a need, and I don't know if this happens to you, there's a need to be in front of a microphone. There's a need to be recording. I never understood that with any other job that I ever had. Like, I never felt the need to go serve tables. There was never, like, I never woke up one morning, I was like, I want to go give somebody a hamburger today. That never happened. But I do wake up days going, like, I was supposed to have two interviews today, one with you, and I was going to be interviewed with somebody else this morning, but they had an accident, so they couldn't make it. But I woke up this morning excited at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I get to be on camera today. This is really cool.
And yeah.
So I guess that's another point. If you are shy, but you have a message to share, podcasting is the best place because nobody has to see you. They just hear you.
Exactly. It's a great stepping stone as well to public speaking and to putting yourself out there more in video because, like you said, I mean, they only listen. We're recording a video, but I'm not going to actually release the video because podcasting is more audio anyway. But it's a great stepping stone to public speaking. And I've talked about that with other guests as well, that it helps you get your voice out there and to talk in front of, even though you're not actually in front of other people. So, yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't think by listening to me that I'm a very shy person. And I'm sure everybody right now is rolling their eyes, like, really, dude? Like, how can that be? But
I get him.
But podcasting podcasting has given me a platform to be able to share not just my story, but other people's stories, and to learn from their stories. You can if you pay attention to people's survival skills, you will learn something, and you can pick it up, and then when you're stuck in a moment, you can go, oh, wait a minute. I remember episode, because I have 263 episodes up right now, not counting the other two shows that are archives. But I can go back and go, oh, wait a minute. I remember Michelle, who went through recovery and went through something similar and what she went through. And I can go back and find her show and listen to it and listen to my old shows. Not for me, but for that story. Be like, oh, man, she did it. She killed it. I can go back and listen to actors, friends of mine, and think about, damn it, I haven't had a job in like 3 weeks, and what am I going to do about it? I'm like, wait. I remember somebody talking about that. Let me go find that episode. And I'll go back and listen to them. So it's history. Also, if I can, on my Spanish show, Corazón en la Mano, I recruited a lot of my family to be on that show.
Right.
So I did an episode with my brother-in-law. When I was diagnosed with AIDS, I never really took in consideration my sister and her her point of view. So one day I was in Texas for the holidays and I had to do a show and I didn't have a guest. I didn't know what to do. My sister was next to me. She's like, I was on the computer and she's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to find a guest for my show for today. She's like, which one? I said, the Spanish show. She goes, I want to be on your show. I'm like, and she's pretty shy about speaking. And I'm like, sure. I'm like, what do you want to talk about? She's like, well, you've never asked me what I felt like when you were diagnosed. I was like, whoa. I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. So I got to record a show in Spanish called My Brother Has AIDS. And it's my sister telling her side of the story, which I never heard. I had never heard her side of the story. Boom, such an impact. I have that now forever. I have that recorded forever. I can go back and listen to that. My dad was on my show and shared his story of growing up. My dad is almost 90. He shared his story of growing up and hustling and working. And now my nephews and great nephews have that story to go back to. Yeah. They can go back and listen to that. So not only in podcasting are you recording a story that's going to go, somebody's going to listen to it. You're part of history. I know people are like, oh my God, Garza, you sound very dramatic. But no, you are part of history. You are recording history because these are stories that maybe nobody else will ever get to hear or record. Humbly I say this, like now I am part of your history now.
Yeah.
This story goes down in your books and God bless my career takes off somewhere. One day somewhere somebody's going to go, wait a minute. He wasn't on a podcast with Evan Johnson. Hold on a second. Let's pull up those files and find out what he said. And somebody's going to quote that. And now we're now we're linked. Whatever happens in the world, we may never talk to each other again, but forever we'll be linked to this. So there is so much more to podcasting than just hit record and tell a story. It's history making. You're part of the social media world. You're influencing people. Even one person you can influence, it's going to make a difference. And when it gets back to you, and I can't promise it, but I can guarantee it. The first time. The first time you get that message or that email with somebody saying, you talked about blank and I heard it and I feel so much better knowing that I'm not alone, that somebody else has gone through this. You can't give me $1 million to change that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. And I don't care if it's a technical show, if it's a political show, if it's a live show, somebody out there is going to be impacted by what you say. So the moment, I guess that's another point for those of you with your pen and paper. Here's another point important. With the microphone comes responsibility. So be very aware of what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
Because people will listen. And the moment you start growing and start being an influencer, and I know a lot of people hate that word, but it's a reality. When you start influencing people, folks take notice, and I have to be very responsible of what I put out there because somebody's gonna listen. And you have the power and the potential to influence the decisions that other people make. And that microphone gives you that power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
thank you. Did that sound too dramatic? I hope it didn't sound too dramatic.
It's not dramatic. And I feel like people make podcasts less dramatic than they can be. You know what I mean? Like that, that's all very true. You know, I mean, it's when we record this episode, this conversation will exist for as long as the internet exists.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, you may think of history as, you know, George Washington or something, or Abraham Lincoln, but even just this conversation is history, you know, because it will exist forever. And in years from now, people can look back and listen to it. And that is history. It happened, you know,
yeah.
And it was impactful.
One day we're going to be higher in our careers and we'll be in New York at some event and I'll be like, what the hell? That's Evan Johnson. And they'll be like, you know him? I'm like, he interviewed me back in 2019. Like, it was a Tuesday morning before I went out for tacos, and we had this really cool interview. Like, of course I know him. And we'll be like, remember when
yeah.
we were recording on Zoom, and now you have your own office on the 20th floor of such a building? And you'll be like, yeah. oh, my God, yeah. So that is something legit that I went into podcasting with. You know how sometimes they ask people, like, did you think your project was going to take off? I do. I went into podcasting thinking, this is going to be the bomb. People are going to want to be on the show. People will want to talk to me. I will get better at interviewing people. I will talk slower because I need to talk very fast. I will be very specific about what I want to say and use emphasis on my words. But yeah, if you're, another point for your list, guys, if you're not going to go into this thinking that it's going to go somewhere, then why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Are you doing like 3-4 episodes and then letting it go? All right, well, that's fun. Then you're not podcasting. You're just recording some stuff for yourself. Cute. But the moment you sit down and you hit record, and again, because I'm an energy person, you put your energy into that conversation and you see it going places that you have no idea. Your imagination is not enough for where your words can go. Like, you never know. I'll say this because Positive Life, which is the translation, Positive Life, the HIV show, I was just doing it for like people in the advocacy world, like people that I knew, and so they could listen to it. And I was getting emails from people in India, in Spain, Brazil, Germany, Chile, and then my friends in Mexico, obviously. But I was getting messages from people around the world on my HIV show saying what an impact those shows were making on them. And I was just interviewing other friends. And I thought, these are a lot of countries, because obviously I'm an advocate, but these are a lot of countries where a lot of information doesn't get to them. And now they have this little podcast that they can listen to and share the information. So that was what I had envisioned for my show. I was like, this recording is going to go places that I can't even imagine going, but I'm going to go there with my words. So in reviewing, do this because you're passionate about it. Do this because you're in for the long haul. Go for it. Don't do it because you want to make an impact on the world. Do it because you know and you recognize that you're part of history now. And in my case, yeah, do it because you're a little bit vain and you like to listen to yourself talk.
Yeah, incredible. That's very true. Those are some of the best reasons that I've heard, you know, to start a podcast. So thank you for that. For those listeners who are interested in what you have to say and what you do, where can they find you?
Oh, okay. Well, my handle now everywhere is I am Daniel G. Garza. That's pretty much everywhere. Like Instagram, I am Daniel G. Garza. I have a fan page now. I finally started a fan page after so many years. And I mostly started, I know people are like, oh my God, Garza. But I mostly started because I God bless that I have the energy to be involved in different things. Acting, podcasting, comedy, advocacy, and energy work. So it's a lot of stuff to have different pages for everything. So if you go on Facebook, it's the Daniel G. Garza page. So you can go there and find everything I do. You can connect with me there. That's the best way because my personal page has gotten a little too messy. So I have it private for my family now. But that sounded so conceited. Here in LA. But no, it's just because there was a lot of stuff and it got, when I went back and looked at my page, I was like, this is really messy. You can't find anything here. So I started the fan page so people can just go check everything out. It's easier to get along. Right. But, Instagram, YouTube, go to my YouTube page. There's a lot of my stand-up stuff. There's a lot of interviews. Oh, I have a spin-off show. here's another thing. Okay. Before we go, I know we're running out of time.
You're fine.
But Put It Together, I had some really interesting guests on Put It Together that I thought, man, these folks just didn't get to say everything they wanted to say. Because we're talking about their story, Put It Together story. But there's always that one thing that you're like, I really want to talk about this. And I'm sure you had those guests that, you want to talk about podcasting, and they're like, but cooking, and you're like, this isn't a cooking show. So I did a spinoff show, which is a live feed Facebook show called Put It Together Conversations. And like, for instance, now you as a guest, which we're going to swap. Now you have to come back on my show and be a guest on my show.
Okay.
So you can come on Conversations, and I'm like, the day before we go on the air, I'll write and go, what's your topic? What do you want to talk about? And you can be like, I want to talk about bumblebees. I'm like, all right, cool, dude. So we go on the air and we talk about bumblebees, and you're my co-host. Now you're not a guest, you're a co-host. Mm-hmm. And we could just share. And the live feed conversation is so cool. It's so amazing. This is another part of podcasting that it's so cool, because now you have real-time interaction with your listeners, and they get to ask questions, and you get to talk. And one of the best episodes, not one of the best, but one of the best interactions that happened was Kai Kalama, who's a really good friend of mine, who was on American Idol, season 7, I believe, came on the show to talk about his experience post a reality show and how that impacted his life positively and negatively. So we're talking, and he's talking about music. On the feed is a girl who's a friend of mine. These are all friends of mine. She's a singer. And she was like, oh, well, I'm looking for somebody to play with me, and I need a guitarist for a demo. On the same feed is a friend of mine who's a guitarist. And he's like, well, what are you looking for? Where do you live? She's like, here. He's like, I'm like 5 blocks down from you. She's like, no way. So they're having their own conversation while we're doing the show live, which is brilliant. Well, now they collaborated and did the demo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boom, right there. If that wasn't a signal from the internet God saying, this is what your show is doing. It's bringing people together to collaborate. And if you can't feel proud of that, then something's wrong with me. Which something is wrong with me, but at that moment, I did feel really proud that our little show was connecting people. So, yeah, be prepared for those moments and want. You gotta want those moments. I hear a lot of podcasters come on, it's like, oh, I'm just gonna do it. If anybody listens, I don't care. It's my job. What are you doing? Like, why? What? If you're not gonna care, then why? Which I know secretly they do care. They wouldn't be sharing their information. But
yeah,
that's one of the beautiful things is that it. I don't know. I guess after 7 years, you're making me realize that I'm going to step outside of myself for a minute and look in, go and say that after, and you're making me emotional. What the hell, dude? After 7 years, I am realizing the impact that Put It Together has had beyond my own impact. Like, it hasn't just impacted me. It's impacted other people. And talking to you right now on your podcast is making me realize that the show has helped other people put their stuff together. And that is so beautiful. That is the reason I went into this. And on today, November 5th, 2019, Evan Johnson has made me realize that this is the reason I do podcasts.
Yeah, it's incredible. And that's something that sometimes you don't realize the kind of impact that you have. You know, you you're putting out the content, you do it every week, you love the stories you share, but then moments like this come where you reflect, like, well, it was actually a lot more than that. And I know I wanted it to be a lot more than that, but to see proof that it actually was, you know, is always incredible. And that's something I love being able to do. I do that with my partner sometimes. Something happened when she was in high school where she was in drama. She was always you know, really outgoing and a part of things and a leader. And there was one time where there was this kid who told her that he didn't commit suicide because of something that she did. And she kind of told me that story, like, oh yeah, that happened, and it was really interesting. And I was like, hold on, let's stop and like think about that for a second. Think about that impact that you made. So sometimes you don't realize when it's you, you don't realize the impact that you made, but taking time to reflect, you know, it's incredible to think about. Yeah. So thank
you. I think that, can I share just a little bit of this? I know we've probably gone beyond the time limit, but
that's okay, folks.
When the whole thing started back in 2012, I came from the background. I was clean and sober. I did drugs for a long time. I started drinking when I was like 15. Started doing drugs when I was 20. For those of you keeping count, I'm 48 right now. And when you see my picture, like, you're adorable. I know. it's a curse and a blessing. That's why I'm on radio. I was clean and sober. I dealt with AIDS and HIV. I dealt with bullying, suicide attempt, sexual abuse as a child, molestation from my bullies. Now, in 2019, I'm an anal cancer survivor. I have a stoma. I have a colostomy. I've kind of dealt with my health issues a little bit. I was on disability for a long time. I'm no longer on disability, so I'm out there hustling. I've been in a relationship now for 7 years and dealt with my partner's parents' death, my own mom's Alzheimer's. There's a lot of things that go into it, and that's why my show is so important. It's so therapeutic to be able to sit down with other people and go, I know this is going to sound cruder than it's supposed to, but it's like, my life, it's just as screwed up as everybody else's. Like, there's people out there with equal amounts of crap to deal with on a daily basis. So I'm not alone in feeling like I'm on a constant marathon in life. Like, I'm not running through mud and jumping walls. And like, now, after all these years of listening to people's stories, one of my things that I tell my clients when I do energy work for them is like, when a wall comes in front of you, there's always a door. Look for the door first.
Yeah.
Before you try to climb it or break it down or figure out why, like, look for the door. There's always a door at the wall. Just walk through it and be like, I'll deal with this. Like, I got this. Like, I'm good. But for me personally, that's what my podcast is. It's my personal therapy session. Because I get to talk to people and hear the stories of where they came from. And this is my elevator pitch for people on my show. Especially in LA, you only have so much time to get people. It's like, Put It Together is a show about where you came from, where you are now, and what the journey's like. Our purpose is to inspire and motivate other people to go after their dreams and reach their goals.
Hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
And it's definitely has helped me. So my final note to you, those of you taking notes, if you have your pen and paper, is let the podcast become more than you.
Yeah.
Don't control it. Don't limit it. Don't box it in. Because that's what I did in the beginning. And it didn't go where I wanted it to. But the moment I let Put It Together grow at its own, in its own way, I guess. It became more than I did, more than I thought. Like, I'm gonna close this up, but when I have people, if you don't know Ned Bailey, you should know Ned Bailey. But when I have people of the caliber of Ned Bailey coming to me and saying, hey, I want to swap with you interviews, because I think would be good for each other's show. And then you're like, the hell, dude? Like, really? But that is when I knew, like, oh shit, I'm at a different level now. Like, mm-hmm. I need to step up my game. But Put It Together did that for me. I didn't do it for the podcast. The podcast went on its own and said, I'm going to grow. And I said, that's fine. Like, let's see where you go. And I'll follow. And now I have to step up. And it built me up. It's making me a better person, a better, both professionally and personally. And I know some people listening out there are listening going, a podcast, really? Yeah, a podcast. The moment I let it go and allowed it to be its own entity, it became more than me. And that's really cool. I mean, that's what the Oprah show was. There was Oprah, but the show was much bigger than her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The View, it's much more than five ladies at a table. So much more than that. So allow your show to grow and expand and find its way and you will grow with it. But it all starts with just do it. Just hit record.
Yep. Exactly.
If you never hit that record button, you will never find out how far you can go. It's like in the pre-recording, we were talking about stand-up comedy. Do it once. You won't know if you're great unless you do it once.
Exactly. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Thank you for that. And thank you for all of the value that you shared. I think a lot of people are going to be able to get a lot from this interview. So thank you for that.
I really hope I didn't bore everybody already. They're like, never mind, Evan.
I don't think that'll be the case, but thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for coming on the show today and taking the time.
Thank you, man. I, again, for anybody interested in either being a guest or following what I do, I'm humbled if you do. You can find me at The Daniel G. Garza. There's a G in the middle. The Daniel G. Garza on Facebook. I am Daniel G. Garza on Instagram, which is usually the two that I go to the most. Check out all my videos, all the stuff that I have on social media, on YouTube, at Daniel G. Garza. And where else? Instagram, I'm Little Mexican in Instagram, LILMESICN, which is my production company. Little Mexican Productions is my company. But I'm more than happy. If you remotely think you have a story to share, then it's bigger than you. Then come on my show and let's share it. And look for Evan's story, because I'm going to have to recruit him for my show for his story. All right,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation, or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.